You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Is that the first sermon you've ever seen open with Smash Mouth? It's the first time I've ever opened with Smash Mouth. So, what's your superpower? If I were to ask you this morning, and I just did, what is your superpower? You walked in this room as an everyday superhero, some of you not realizing that you have a superpower, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. What is your superpower? If you're a follower of Jesus, then you know that he is the way maker. Amen? We just sang about that. He is the way maker, and the way that he makes a way is by giving us a superpower. He gives you a superpower to use in the battle of good versus evil. He gives you a superpower to use in your local church to see people come to Christ, to win the world to Jesus Christ. And that's what our focus is today. There are unseen forces opposing us. So God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to give us a superpower. He's equipped us. So the question of the hour is, what are you doing with your superpower? Now, you know we're in a mini-series, and the mini-series is stewardship. And you saw me come up here, and how many of you thought, oh, it's the money talk? Right? Well, it's not the money talk. We're going to talk about our spiritual gifts, because being a steward means more than being a steward over your money. It means being a steward of your time and your talents. And so this morning we're going to focus on the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit of God gives us when we accept Christ as our Savior. That is the superpower we're going to be focusing on this morning. We're not focusing on those of you with X-ray vision or invisibility or whatever superpower you've seen in the movies. We're talking about this supernatural gift that the Holy Spirit of God has chosen to give each and every one of us when we accept Jesus as our Savior. We're also not talking about those talents and the talents that you're born with, the skills that you have. We're talking about something that is supernatural, something that only comes to us through His Holy Spirit. It's a gift you receive at your second birth. And that's our focus this morning. Now, before you start thinking all spooky and succumb to spiritual spiritual exaggeration, that's the word. We're talking about everyday superpowers, everyday superheroes that come into this church every Sunday and serve and use to see Christ's work done through us. We're not talking about being real spooky like they did in Corinth. You know, Pastor John mentioned Corinth last week, and he said, if you are going to plant a church, don't name it after Corinthians, because Paul had to write two letters to them to correct what they were doing wrong. And one of the areas they were doing wrong was in this area, the area of spiritual gifts. So these are practical, everyday talents and abilities that you are gifted from the Holy Spirit. We're going to start in the book of Romans. Romans was written to the Roman church by Paul. And he's in chapter 12, verse 6, he says this: having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, or that literally means proclaiming truth, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. If one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in his generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, the whole chapter in Romans chapter 12 helps us discover our spiritual gifts. The whole context, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. He begins by encouraging Christians to honor and worship, as we just sang about just moments ago, through how we live. We worship God through how we live. He also warns us, don't think of yourself being better than you are because you have a spiritual gift. We shouldn't go and flaunt our superpower and say, look, mine's better than yours. God loves me more. He's given me this extra gift. But we should use it for God's glory. We should understand who we are in Christ. And this chapter is built on that idea, the idea of being a living sacrifice. So the question of the hour is, what are you doing with your superpower? Paul encourages us to truly love each other, to be happy with those who are happy and to mourn with those who mourn, and live as everyday superheroes, using our superpowers to overcome evil by doing good. Well, when you are a steward, when you're a manager, when you're a guardian of a spiritual gift, you are a superpower in his service. This is an act of worship that honors God. Paul writes the same thing, and he, as I said, in Corinth, he wrote a couple of letters to that church at Corinth, and he writes in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Well, he may as well have wrote that to us, because he doesn't want us to be uninformed. This applies to us. What he wrote to the Corinthian church also applies to us. We ought not to be uninformed about spiritual gifts, the nature and the purpose of the spiritual gifts he gives us. You could do an entire series here. I'm not allowed to do that. I have a limited amount of time, so I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Go home and read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and you'll see the various gifts. This is a major section on the spiritual gifts. But our focus this morning is on being a steward, being a guardian of the superpower that the Holy Spirit has given us. Father God, we come before your throne this morning, and Lord, you know that I am ill-prepared, ill-equipped. I don't have the power in my own to deliver your words. But Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, give me the words to say, and the ability to say them the way you would have me to. Lord, help us to discover our spiritual gifts and use them for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now that was all just introduction. We're actually going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you have that Bible in front of you, the blue Bible that's in the seat back, I think it's on page 1119. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, we're going to examine these two verses. And we're going to make several observations from these verses. In verse 10, it starts and it says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied or diverse grace." Verse 11 says, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles or the words of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The first thing I want to point out to you is in verse 10, and this is on your handout. If you got a handout, I guess I forgot to say, if you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. So our ushers were looking at me saying, "Hey, you got to hand these out." If you didn't get one, raise your hand. Otherwise, the first point I want to make in your handout is in verse 10, and it says, "Each has received a gift." You see, gifts aren't for the special few. They're not for those special people, those special super Christians. They're for all of us. If you are a follower of Christ, if you are a believer, then the Holy Spirit of God has given you a gift. And the purpose of this gift, we see, is to strengthen others. You know, I've talked to many followers of Christ over my last three decades in ministry, and I would say eight out of 10 times when somebody tells me that they've lost their joy, or they tell me, "I'm no longer being fed," or they say, "You know, I'm just getting bored in church," 8 out of 10 times, it's because they are not applying their spiritual gift in the local church. They've missed the opportunity to use their superpower the way God intended it to be. We need to find that joy in the Christian life by finding our superpower. If you know what your superpower is, then you have an opportunity to engage in the battle, to be part of the Lord's army. You know, there are several lists of these gifts in the New Testament. And as I said, we don't have time to go through all the gifts. We don't have time to go through all the lists and explain each one, but you can do that on your own. And last week, Pastor John gave you a resource. He mentioned freeshapetest.com. Freeshapetest.com. And he said, you can go there and you can help discover what your shape is, how the Lord is shaping you and using you. Part of that, the S in shape, is spiritual gift. It can help you to determine. There's a survey that will help you narrow down your spiritual gift. So you can take the survey. But that's not the only part of the formula. There's more to the formula than that. You may already know what your spiritual gift is. Some of you, when you were saved, you realized, hey, I just received a gift of the Holy Spirit, and I know what He's given me to do. And you're doing that. You're back there serving with the kids. Maybe you're up here on the platform singing. You're playing an instrument or something. And you know where God wants you to serve. So that's only part of the formula. The lists are only part of the formula. And then you can ask others, what do they see as your gift? Where do they see you and where you're gifted? And that's part of the S in shape. The H is for heart. What stirs your heart? What gets you excited? When you come to church, where do you feel your passion? What triggers your passion? And then the A is for abilities. What are your talents and abilities? What are you able to do? The P is for personality traits, because it might make a difference. Your personality might make a difference where you serve. So you need to know, what are your personality traits? It might be different if you're an introvert or an extrovert. You might serve in a different place. And then the E is for, what are your experiences? What experiences do you have in your life that shape who you are? Let me give you an example. Back in the old days, when I was here on active duty, and this auditorium was over where the kids are, it was a smaller auditorium, the pastor would have the ushers line up in the back to take an offering. You know, in the old days, we passed an offering plate. And whoever stood here came down front to take the offering. Whoever stood here is the person the pastor called on to pray. Some of you remember this. It was always that person that prayed for the offering. I did everything in my power to not be that person. I didn't mind taking up the offering. I didn't mind passing a plate. But I sure did not want to pray in front of people. The last thing I ever wanted to do was speak in public. One of the biggest fears in America is public speaking. That was my fear. I never want to speak in front of people. And then I had the opportunity to go to shore duty. You know what that's like if you've been in the military. You know, you've been out on a ship, a couple of submarines. And I had earned my shore duty. So they sent me to Little Creek, the amphibious base. There's an amphibious school over there, and they sent me there to be a teacher. So me, the guy that doesn't want to speak in public, didn't want to pray for the offering, they made me an instructor. But that experience helped shape my life. That experience has an impact. So what have you done in your life that has greatly impacted what you can do for Christ? Remember that freeshapetest.com. There's a spot on the bottom of it, and it says optional but recommended. Put your church leader in there. You can put Pastor Johnny at pointharbor.com. And he'll receive the results of your shape test and help you find a place to serve. So first, from this passage, we need to realize that each of us has a superpower. Each of us has a gift, a supernatural gift. And that's number one. Number two, we need to note that we are to, as it says in the rest, in the next part of verse 10, use it to serve one another. Hide it under a bushel. Okay, I know you're out of practice. Haven't done that in a while. Hide it under a bushel? No. Right? We learned that as kids, little kids in Sunday school. No, we're not supposed to hide it under a bushel. We're to use it to serve one another. This literally means that we are to invest in others in our local church. That's the whole purpose of having that gift. It's not to hide it under a bushel. It's to shine before people, to join the team, to enlist in the Lord's army. Some of you were here last year, last March, and we had Mark Oz Geist here. He spoke to us. He is one of the survivors of the attack on the diplomatic outpost in Benghazi on September 11th, 2012. And he was here. He spoke to us. And it was the consulate or the outpost was under attack by Ansar al-Sharia. I hope I said that right. And they were under attack. And in that battle, Ambassador Chris Stevens died and Sean Smith, another employee of the Department of State, and then two former Navy SEALs, Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods, they also perished. And this event has been memorialized in a movie called 13 Hours, the 13 Hours at Benghazi. And so Mark Geist was here speaking to us, and it was very encouraging, a great message. But what if, just what if, he was getting an under, he was in an interview. What, now, this is a what if. This didn't really happen. What if he's in an interview and they ask him this? Who was responsible for saving the lives of the five Americans at the consulate and the 25 others at the annex? What if he responded like this? It was all me. I alone kept those people alive. After all, I pretty much single-handedly managed to turn away the attackers, and I alone was able to repel because of my superior gifts. I deserve to be singled out for a medal because there's no question that I was by far the most valuable asset in Libya. If it were not for me, the entire team would have been lost. Now, what if he said that in an interview after this battle? Well, you'd probably think, well, that guy's kind of arrogant. He's a little full of himself. He's probably a little delusional. Because we know that it takes an entire team to win the battle. This hypothetical situation is exactly what was happening in Corinth. That church in Corinth. That's what was taking place. They thought better of themselves because of their gifts. And so Paul had to counter that argument or had to counter their thinking. They had a very skewed view of spiritual gifts. They took personal pride as though they had earned those gifts. But they were gifts, not to be earned, but they were given at the moment of salvation. And they were more interested in using their spiritual gifts for personal satisfaction, not for the good of the team, not for the good of the church body. So Paul wrote those two letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians, to correct them. So number two, use your gift. Use your superpower to serve one another. And if you're serving, if you're using your spiritual gift at Point Harbor, then you know the value of this. If you're not using it, then you know you're missing out. You are missing out on the joy of the Christian life. The reason God gave you this gift, the reason God gave you that superpower is to use it here if this is your local church. Now, the thought continues in the next phrase in verse 10. It says, as good stewards of God's varied or diverse grace. So number three is we should be a good manager or a guardian of the different grace he gives to each of us. We're called to be stewards, managers, guardians of the superpower that he has gifted us with. Now, picture it this way. If we are soldiers in the Lord's army, or I would prefer the Lord's navy, we're at war with the enemy. Satan, Lucifer, the deceiver, the devil and his demons, you know, he is attacking, and we're in a battle for the souls of mankind. And these might be souls that we've never met. They might be in Cuba, or they might be in Nicaragua or Peru, and there's a battle going on for their souls, and we're in the battle. But they also could be people around us. They could be your friends and family and your neighbors. Well, our first impressions team, they're out there in the lobby, our first impressions team, and they're doing hand-to-hand combat. They're in the front lines, and they're doing hand-to-hand combat week after week after week as people come through our doors. They're stewards of the superpower they've been given, and they're using their superpower to greet those people, to usher those people, to serve those people as they come in the door. Not just them, but all of us, when we accept Christ, have been gifted with that superpower, and we need to use it. Some of you are in the silent service. You're on the sanctified submarine, like these guys in the back of the room. They're quietly doing their job, doing their ministry, doing their service, and they're back behind the scenes. We don't think about the people changing diapers in the nursery, but they're behind the scenes in the silent service, serving in the battle. And then we have offering counters. You never see these guys. They are flying overhead in a faith-fueled jet, and they're flying overhead, and they are counting the offering each week. And along with them, we have our financial deacons who are circling in their Holy Spirit stealth bomber, doing battle with the Lord, or battle for the Lord against Satan. And we don't see them. But do you realize, you may not know this, but many of our people that serve here, if they work with children, if they handle finances, they have to get a criminal background check. We background check a lot of people. So they have to submit to that. But if they handle money, if somebody handles money here at Point Harbor, they have to get a credit check. Have you ever heard of a volunteer position? You don't get paid for it, but yet you have to go through a background check and a credit check to do it. And when we ask people to serve in those positions, they say, yes, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do it if that's what God has called me to do. Those guys are in the battle. They're fighting in the battle against Satan. Then you might think of the Shelby and the musicians. They're firing three-round bursts of praise. Three-round bursts of praise before the message. And they get us in the place of worship. As we praise the Lord, we worship the Lord, and we're preparing for the message. And there's a whole team of people up here that are firing those three-round bursts of praise. And then you have the grace gun, like Pastor Johnny uses. And he stands behind his grace gun, and he fires. Hey, dude, this is gnarly. Jesus died for your sins. And he fires that grace gun out to tell people that God is there for them and has saved them by sending his son. And of course, we can't exclude Pastor Tim and the people that work in the youth, you know, with their gospel grenades. He launches it and he says, "Good day, mate. Jesus rose from the dead, and he conquered sin, and he conquered death. Fair dinkum." He's lobbing those gospel grenades back there with our teenagers. Isn't it time for you to get in the battle? So the question of the hour is, what are you doing with your superpower? Where are you serving? Are you being a good steward, a good guardian of the gift that God has given you? That's how we should think about our service here at Point Harbor. Where are you gifted? Where can your gifts apply? That's our responsibility in this church, for all of us to get inspired, to get into a place of service. We are recipients of grace. It is our duty to join the battle armed with that grace. God has equipped us as with superpowers through the grace that we receive. Now it's time to pass it on. We would be derelict in our duties if we didn't join the battle. If you're sitting around not using your gift, then you're derelict of duty. You need to join the battle. Verse 10, let's review that. It says, as we read, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now let's jump to the next verse. Let's examine what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, whoever speaks, let him do it as one who speaks the oracles of God. Literally, that means the words of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So that brings us to number four. Number four, the fourth observation from 1 Peter chapter 4, is that grace can be dispersed through word-oriented or deed-oriented gifts. Colossians 3:17, many of you know this verse. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, some of you, if you had to use a word-oriented gift, if you were asked to speak, you would rather have your fingernails plucked out, right? I mean, it'd scare you. Maybe you don't want to ever do that. That's why it's a word-oriented gift or a deed-oriented gift. You either serve the Lord in word or in deed. You know, for example, Sarah up here is singing this morning, and she sings frequently, and she'll stand up here and sing to you all day long, as long as we never ask her to speak. She won't speak in front of people, but she'll happily sing. Singing scares me to death. In fact, I've been banned from singing in most states. I can't do that. I'm not equipped. Well, let's look at this text. Writing to the church, in the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 1, I guess I should give you the reference. Romans 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul writes, he continues what we were looking at before, and he says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Verse 12 says, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. He says, I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. Now, it could be misunderstood. You may read that on the surface, and it sounds like Paul wants to help them have a gift. But what he really means there is, the text means he wants to give them the benefit of his gift. He wants to use his gift. He wants to impart to them his spiritual gift. And he says, I long to see you that I may use my gift to strengthen you. The purpose of our gifts, in word or in deed, is to strengthen others. And that doesn't mean that we don't get joy out of it. We receive joy when we use our gifts, when our gifts are shared. In fact, this is probably the first time in history the word regifting was used. Paul was regifting his gift to the others. Gifts are not to be hoarded. Grace won't flow through a clogged pipe. In order for your gifts to flow, your pipe has to be unclogged. He says, I desire to share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. You know, Pastor John frequently refers to my gift of administration. He says it a little more sarcastic than that. He talks about how I love spreadsheets. And that's only mildly true. I mean, I don't dream about spreadsheets, but I like a good spreadsheet. And that is one of my spiritual gifts, administration. But it's my secondary spiritual gift. My primary spiritual gift is teaching. Teaching is my superpower. And I have the opportunity here at Point Harbor occasionally to teach. About twice a year, I get to stand up here and teach you. I'm teaching this week on Tuesday night, Financial Peace University. It's just a shameful plug right there. And Financial Peace University, I get to teach it on Tuesday night. And then I have my point group on Wednesdays that I have the opportunity to use my spiritual gift. So my primary gift is teaching. My secondary gift is administration. I receive joy from using my gift. Some of you have not yet found your place of service. You haven't been able to find where to use your spiritual gift. I use my spiritual gift also when I write books. And my notes say, insert shameless plug here for new book. So Darlene Holmes, one of our folks, she illustrated this book with me, and we wrote a Dr. Seuss book. Talk about the elephant. The elephant in the room. Now, this is not written for children. It's written for adults to learn how to use a debt snowball, how to get out of debt, how to manage their budget. And it's a whimsical view, and it's really aimed at financial peace dropouts. But that's how I use my spiritual gift. I teach through words written or spoken. If your gift involves speaking, then you know that you have the opportunity to serve leading a point group or in teaching the children, and you have the opportunity. Some of you, you don't want to speak. You don't have that gift of words, but you have gift of deeds, and you serve through your gift of deed. Maybe it's behind the scenes. Maybe it's not in the public. Then let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. If your gift involves practical service, don't try to do it in your own strength. Don't try to greet people in your own strength. Don't try to make coffee in your own strength. Don't try to change diapers in your own strength. Don't try to usher in your own strength. Don't mix the audio in your own strength. Ask the Holy Spirit to work through you. And you might think, oh, I'm just making coffee. You aren't just making coffee. You're in hand-to-hand combat. You're greeting the people that come here to hear about Jesus. You're part of the fight going on against Satan. Join the battle. Your strength is in your spiritual gift. Your strength is in your superpower. Be a good steward of that superpower. We are to speak with words and act with strength that God supplies. That's what he calls us to do. So let's review where we are so far. Number one, each of us has received a spiritual gift or a superpower, if you will. Number two, we are to use it to serve one another. Use it in the local church. Number three, as good stewards of God's varied or diverse grace, the various gifts we are to be good stewards of. Number four, those gifts are either word-oriented or deed-oriented. And now number five, as we continue in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, it says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Soli Deo Gloria is the Latin for to God alone be glory. To God alone be glory. The final point from this text and my final point this morning is that to God alone be the glory. That in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. The reason we have a superpower, the reason we've been gifted with these abilities, these gifts is to glorify God. It's the whole purpose. God's aim in giving us gifts and in giving us the faith to use them is that he would receive the glory. That we don't stand before you and say, oh, look at me. Look at my gift. But that he would be glorified. He wants the world to marvel at him. He wants us to know that he is fantastic. We need to be proud of who we serve. And our gifts should point to him. So back to where we started this morning. The question of the hour is this. What are you doing with your superpower? Be an everyday superhero. Use your superpowers to conquer evil by doing good. Are you the guardian of the superpower the Lord has entrusted you with? If you examine your life, since you came to know Christ, what has changed in your area of service? Where are you serving? How are you using that spiritual gift? How are you using it in the local church? If you want to get involved, we have a simple method for doing that. It's that connection card that we talk about. You have that QR code there in front of you, or you can go to pointharbor.church and get that connection card. And on that connection card, there's a place that says, I want to serve. It's as simple as clicking right there, clicking that box to say, I want to serve. And someone will reach out to you and help you find your place of service in the local church here at Point Harbor. Let's pray. Father God, we stand before your throne humbly, opening up our gifts. And Lord, we ask you to use that gift, to use the gift in your service, whether it be gifts of word or gifts of deed, Lord. We stand before your throne and we offer you these gifts. Lord, use us in the battle. Use us in this fight against Satan. In Jesus' name we pray. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.